on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare,
with a serious spin, whether it be sports, faith, parenting,
balance, relationships, education, community, coaching,
starting over, how do you reboot yourself,
ministry, relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in, ask us questions, be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1.
Oh, I like that music, Alonzo. This is good. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. This is June 4th. We're going to continue our conversation this week with success strategist Nicole LaBeach, and we're going to talk about those issues that we've been discussing for the last several weeks on how to get better, how to do better, how to be better, and how to improve oneself in spite of the circumstances. We're not going to be defined by any negativity. We're going to press through and realize that anything that was not positive is strictly a commercial break in between the main feature of our life. It doesn't define who we are. And we're going to go from there. Our guest is Nicole. Okay. Our guest is Nicole LaBeach. And we're going to go to her in a moment and just talk about what's going on inside. And we're going to adopt an inside outside strategy. Hey, Nicole, how are you? Nicole?
Yes. Hey. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing so well and so excited to be doing your show today.
I'm so grateful that you're able to join us. Jackie's going to join us in a moment. But what I wanted to talk about is, what are the strategies that we need? I had the opportunity to see you do what you do on a couple of occasions, and we've been on this bent over the last several weeks to help our listeners get more out of life than what they're putting in, not be paused or not stuck on pause, and to realize that whatever we do that might not work as a positive situation, it is simply a commercial break in between the main feature of our lives. So right. So what can you impart?
You know, you're exactly right. The power of those that are quote unquote successful, that we look at mm-hmm. as successful, really is a couple of things. Their resilience, you know, their ability to realize that most things that appear to be a setback are really just a setup for things that are coming down the pipeline if we just don't give in mm-hmm. and if we just don't give up. Being focused, you know, on what it is that you want, so that you are not splitting your energies all over the place, but you're really present to what the goal is, and you're holding yourself accountable and letting other people hold you accountable to what it is you say the goal is. Mm-hmm. You know, and for a lot of people, that can be a struggle, because just naming the goal and being able to say what I'm trying to accomplish is this.
Right.
Gives a whole level of accountability to it, because you've now named it. You've now given yourself permission to feel like that is something that's a part of your journey. And then letting other people know, this is what I've decided that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And here's the timeline by which, and the actions by which, I'm going to try to govern myself to move towards this goal. So
right.
that people that care about you can say, hey, you know, it's interesting. You said that you were trying to do this. You know, what's the progress mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. that?
You mentioned giving permission to oneself.
Yes.
And sometimes I think people get confused with giving permission and realizing they don't have to ask for permission. What is the difference that you find? I think,
you know,
that sometimes women get caught up in, oh, should I do this? Do I need to, let me check with over here. And we don't really trust ourselves, our own instincts.
Well, you know, we have, many of us, made a habit of telling our heart and our gut instinct to shut up, just to be quite frank. You know, our instinct will say, go left. Mm-hmm. And we'll say, nobody asked you. Be quiet. I'm going to go ask Karen what she thinks.
Exactly.
And it's not that Karen's opinion is not valuable, but what you have within yourself is an internal metric that is really working towards your good to help you go in a direction that is going to be most beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep minimizing it, if you keep telling it that it's wrong, then you short-circuit the very thing that can put you on a path towards greatness for yourself.
Right. You're fading in and out, by the way. But the other thing, too, is I think that as women, and I know you touched on this in your book, A True Woman's Purpose, but I think as women, oftentimes we get stuck on trying to please and not
right.
understanding our own value, not just in society, but to ourselves, that we matter, that we make a difference.
A lot of times we don't even put ourselves on the list.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's like we have these lists, and I've seen so many over the years that I think it's kind of comical.
Mm-hmm.
They're colored, you know, they're color-coded, and this one has an A and a B and a C, and then there's some in this corner and some in that corner. And I ask the question, well, this list is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you?
Exactly.
And they're like, okay, is that a trick question? I'm like, no, I'm really not trying to trick you. I'm just trying to figure out where are you on the list, and all of these things that you're trying to accomplish, are they really anchored to purpose
mm-hmm.
for you?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's that permission to say, you know what, if I'm not doing what I have to do to nurture my own spirit, what everybody else gets from me is crumbs at best.
Mm.
Whether I want to admit it or not.
Right.
And folks say, well, you know, you say that, but, I mean, everybody else that I'm giving to, I don't think that they feel they're getting crumbs. And I say, well, they don't know the difference.
Hmm.
Because they've been getting that from you for so long that they don't know what it looks like for you to be present in yourself, present in your body, feeding your own spirit. They don't know what it looks like to experience you in that space.
Mm. Or experience them themselves in that space.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's just give on an empty tank. And, you know, the people that love us will adapt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think is important that it's okay to course correct. And if folks don't catch up to you while you're changing the direction of your life, you can let them go until they catch up, but you keep going.
Absolutely. You know, we have a good metric of whether or not we're going on the right course. I think sometimes what happens to us is pride
mm-hmm.
and the thought of, well, I started on this course, so I'm going to tread water until I just pass out.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And what I try to tell people is your objective when a tide comes is not to fight against the tide, but go with it.
Mm.
Because most people, you know, the sad thing when you hear of cases where people have lost their life
right.
in drowning situations, they drown because they're fighting against the tide and the tide takes them out versus going with the tide. Now, granted, you may end up a mile and a half down the beach from where you started,
mm-hmm.
but you live to swim again.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're still here. Exactly.
You live to swim again.
Mm-hmm.
So you course correct and you say, you know what? This is not where I want to be, but I'm going to go with this And I'm going to course correct and figure out, was this to show me another option? Who knows? There may be something a mile and a half down the beach that you would have never imagined that you were supposed to encounter. But you live to see it, learn from it, and then say, okay, now that I've regrouped and I've caught my breath, what did I learn and how does this help me continue to move forward?
I think that that also, and just to digress a little bit, but I think that that also has merit in our job situation. Because sometimes, you know, when your job becomes just a check, I've always adopted the strategy that, you know, you need to look for something else to do, because if it's just a check, it's not worth it. It's not going to keep you energized. It's not going to keep you engaged. And it's not going to help you grow to the next level. Because we get stagnant.
Absolutely.
But in our positions, you know, they do have serve as a means to an end. You know, they keep the lights on as long as we do have a job. So in the meantime, whatever your passion is, my sense has always been, you know, find ways to feed that until you're in the position or going to step out of the position and on faith to move into the direction of your passion and do what you love. Focus on it. Educate yourself on it. Move towards it. But sometimes we get caught in, it's safe. It's comfortable. I know what this is. I don't know what's out there. So I just kind of go with it. You know,
a lot of people ask me, okay, Dr. Nicole, how do I know that it's time to leave a job? The money is great. I got a nice little parking space or whatever the skills are. How do I know? And I'll often say, when your moral fiber starts to shift, when your temperament shifts, when you're waking up in the morning saying, I got to do this again, and your attitude towards the power that you bring into every situation that you show up in starts to be diminished because you're so focused on not wanting to be where you are, that is a telltale sign that it is time to start exploring what your next move needs to be.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side of it, the other half of me is going to join us, and then we're going to revisit that so that we can talk about knowing when it's the right time to move. And this is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're back. This
is okay, here, I think.
Ladies.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the landmark.
We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're on with Dr. Nicole LaBeach. And hey, Jackie, how you doing?
Hey, Karen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
I didn't forget about you.
I know.
I did not. I'm in another time zone, and my brain is like, "What? Where are you today?"
That's all. As long as you made it. We're on with Nicole, Dr. Nicole, and we're talking. We left off with knowing when it's time to move or leave a situation.
Jackie. Hey.
I'm good.
Yeah, welcome to Conversation with Jackie and Karen. I was listening in just before the other side of the break, and you know, you're absolutely right. I think a part of people moving on is not knowing when to let go.
Yeah.
They have held on for so long. They have so much invested into where they are until they don't realize that they're actually in bondage and being held to a place where nothing is there for them anymore. There's not a lateral move. There's not an upward move. Maybe a downward spiral is probably the only place they have to go. And oddly, some people are okay with that because letting go and change is so difficult for people.
You know, and a lot of times it's fear. You know, let's just be real about it. You know, you're in a job. You've been in this job for 10 years. It supports your family. It supports you. When you started, it was the right thing, and it's been good. But now something is shifting, and every day it becomes more obvious that there is a shift. But you are so fighting against the change that's happening, whether you like it or not, by the way. because you're afraid of what happens in the unknown. And the reality is every moment is the unknown. Every single second. We don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. We have a plan, but we don't know until we get there. So the thing about fear is to realize it is what it is. It's going to often be present for many people in a changed situation. But fear does not like movement. I say all the time, it's like Superman and Kryptonite. Fear does not like movement. It wants to paralyze you and keep you exactly where you are. So when you start to move, because it gets so agitated by it, it moves. And now you're like, wow, this is not half as scary as when I started, and I'm almost to the destination. So I'm not even thinking about fear anymore. I've got some momentum. I've been reinforced that this is the right thing to do, and I'm well on my way. But that only happens as you move.
No, that's definitely true. We often talk about fear, false evidence appearing real. Many times individuals do not recognize what's truth and what is not. And sometimes when you call fear out for what it is and you begin to address your internal emotion that is attached, why am I afraid to move? Why does this feeling overcome me? What is it about the unknown that makes me so nervous? And the more you begin to address those things bit by bit, you're able then to be able to, you know, put more weapons in your toolkit to be able to handle the fear, the adversity, the unknown, and everything that is around the corner. And it gives individuals who are thinking about making a move an opportunity to prepare themselves in advance. What is false about this situation and the way I'm looking at it? You know, is this evidence that, you know, that is coming to me fact or fiction, or is it just something within me from my past that's triggering it? You know, how does it appear to me all of these times when I want to make a move and I made this move to where I am now? What did I learn for? And what we often think is real is actually not. So we have the resources to combat fear. We've just got to begin to take ownership of the emotion attached to the physical and then begin to make steps.
I mean, I totally agree. You know, Karen and I were talking about that. And the reality is, for most people, we've all had different levels of success at different things. It's often hard for us to remember where we've been once we've been through it. And that it took a certain level of faith, a certain level of courage to get through something to the other side. So in reality, most people think, oh, this fear is going to kill me. And I'm like, no, the fear won't kill you. Staying in a season when it's up, now that could cause you a whole lot of damage.
True.
Because the momentum of life is trying to push you to another place. And you're fighting to stay where you are. And no matter how much you want to stay where you are, if a change is upon you, your best bet is to say, I am afraid. I'm clear that I am afraid, but I'm going to move anyway. So you know what? Get in the backpack if you must, and we're going to ride this thing out together. Because at some point on this journey, you're going to jump out. At some point, fear, you're going to jump out, because this is going to become very uncomfortable for you, but I'm going to ride with you anyway, because my only option is to go.
Don't you think as well, too, that part of this and what I hear you both saying is that sometimes people, I think, do not know how to distinguish their perceived fear of a threat and how it's emotionally induced, that perception, versus the actual or legitimate threat, so to speak. You know, and how does one distinguish? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think that's absolutely true because it's psychosomatic.
Mm-hmm.
People can think themselves into an illness just as easy as they can think themselves well. And so the more they look at the negative and focus less on the positive, they begin to spiral out of control down a path that makes them then paralyzed and they're debilitated, and then they can't think straight, and then they're emotionally, you know, out of sorts. And so these are the things that, you know, we want our audience, Dr. Nicole, to discover how to overcome so it doesn't get to that point and they begin to
stabilize
themselves.
Yeah.
You know, self-management is one of the biggest derailers that you can ever have. You know, the inability to understand what you're worth and the deservingness that comes uniquely in who you are as a person is really a beast when it comes to dealing with change, when it comes to fighting fear, because at the bottom, at the root of most change issues in our lives becomes the question of whether I believe I really deserve better than where I am. At the heart of it, do I really believe that I deserve better? On a spiritual level, yes, I know God does a lot of things for other people, but will he do it for me?
Wow.
Will he do it? I know what he does for you, but will he do it for me? Is there a purpose within myself that is so dynamic and intentional and deliberate that I can't derail it? So why would I take a detour? Why would I invest in a detour if I really understand that there is an audience that has already been chosen for whatever my purpose is? If it's to write a book, if it's to go to school and become a physician, if it's to learn a craft and become a barber, whatever it is that makes you uniquely you and gives you the right to offer something dynamic to the world, it's already waiting for you to move into that lane that is uniquely you. So part of where a lot of what you're talking about, the psychosomatic, the depression, a lot of the things, is that we convinced ourselves that we couldn't possibly be that dynamic to deserve what it is that our heart is desiring. So we just start talking ourselves out of it, and we start diminishing who we are, and we let our perception of self and where we've been in life and some of the things that have happened to us, we let those things claim what we deserve.
It's interesting because they also begin to take hold of a future that we can have. So many people allow their pain and their past to dictate the next step that they take, the path that they can go down, until you're counting yourself out of the new possibilities that were there if you could discover how to put your past and your pain into its proper context. You know, and then from there, it begins to help other people discover what it means to walk in the newness. We've, you know, been sharing over the last few days about what we've learned from Dr. Maya Angelou. And that was one of the things that stuck out to me from I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. My past does not dictate the possibilities of my future just because I'm in a situation. I've got to just try to look past what I'm in right now in order to be able to make bold steps that empower me each day to keep moving forward. And I think that there's a lot to be said for going through something, because if you never go through anything, you never know how to go through anything.
True.
And that we have to figure out how to help people get to that place in their lives where they're willing to take a self-inventory and then move strategically down a path of good.
We had talked earlier on about that inside-outside strategy, Nicole. And one of the things that I'm wondering is sometimes I think people get stuck on not feeding their talent and knowing their gift. Instead, they don't know necessarily what their talent is, and they still keep doing it anyway. They don't find it, or they're working in an area that is not their gift. And as a result, they also are stuck. And that, you know, I think comprises some or a degree of the fear that they have, because you don't know yourself well enough to know what you're good at.
You know, that's a very interesting dynamic, because of course, with what I do, a lot of people are like, how do I know purpose? And how do I know what I'm good at? And all of these questions that set up the dynamic as if anybody can be the expert on you. Mm-hmm. And speaking on what you were saying earlier, when we decide that we really can't reinvent ourselves, because you can't reinvent something that you didn't invent to begin with. Mm-hmm. So once an apple, always an apple. No matter what you try to do to an apple, you can turn it into apple strudel, apple pie, apple juice, still an apple. If that's the case, then whatever has happened to you is something that has happened to you, but it's not who you are. So when you connect with the fact that who you are is good, and there's nothing that you can do to mess that up, not a rape, not a loss of a marriage, not abandonment, not any house being foreclosed on. Those are things that happen in your experience, but they don't have the ability to redefine you as an individual, as good. Then you start to realize, well, maybe if I'm innately good, then I can listen to the aspects of my heart that say, you find a lot of joy doing that. Mm. Why don't you try that versus trying to be somebody else that you think is good? Why don't you try to be you, understanding that you are good?
Amen. We're going to take a quick break, Dr. Nicole. And on the other side of it, can we maybe spend a little time talking about the redefinition process that mm-hmm. one goes or
Absolutely.
Undergoes? All right. We'll be right
Absolutely.
Back. We'll be right back. We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're on with Dr. Nicole Beach, author of A Woman's True Purpose and Choose Yourself, A Journey Towards Personal Fulfillment of Women. And we were talking on the other side of the break. I wanted to kind of get back to Dr. Nicole about what the redefinition process is. How does one go about redefining who they are from the inside out?
Well, let's look at it this way. I think one of the biggest things that we can learn, especially as women, is we don't have to look at everything that we've experienced as part of our definition. And actually doing that doesn't usually work well for us. Mm. Because every decision that we think might have been bad, every setback, now becomes a part of who I am. And unless you've had a perfect experience with, you know, everything has gone your way, you're starting to look at yourself and say, you know, how has that experience changed me to be a bad person or to not be worthy? So if you change your paradigm and you start to consider, I was born good and I was born to do something great. And a lot of things have happened along my journey that are part of my story, but they don't make up who I am. So if I can't mess this thing up called Nicole, if I can't mess this power and this phenomenal being, then I can take myself off the hook as it relates to whether or not I'm good enough, because I can just say, yeah, I am. Whether or not there is purpose in my being, well, yeah, there must be. Whether or not I can accomplish things, well, if I'm good and there's purpose in my being, well, obviously so. Now, what do I need to do? I need to start to surround myself with people and actions that speak to that belief. So there are certain choices that I don't give myself permission to make when I really do feel like I am a gift. When I feel like I've missed it, I've dropped the ball, and there's nothing good about me, there are a whole lot of things that I'm willing to entertain. But when I see myself differently in a space of truth versus in a space of what I've experienced that has not been positive, now there's not a risk when I bet on myself. And there's so many of us that are walking around saying, I can't bet on me. That there's too much risk in that. And I'm saying, darling, that's the most risk-free business you could ever desire. Because if you see yourself as good and deserving, then what's the risk? Stand on that platform and trust your gut. So the energy doesn't need to be placed in redefining as much as it needs to be placed in accepting that how you've been defined is perfect. And there's nothing wrong with it. And it's got everything it needs in its original definition of who you are to be great. So go with that.
I like the way that sounds because it gives people an opportunity to say, because there are people that are listening, because we know our audience, they're saying, well, what about all the middle? Well, sometimes you got to cut out the middle and get back to the authentic self. And when you get back to the authentic self, then you find the perfect launching pad, as you have stated, of who you are. And that begins with ownership. We do have people who are saying, I'm collateral damage. I'm damaged goods because of. And then they'll give us this litany of things that they've experienced and faced and how it, you know, tore down their self-worth and value and self-esteem. How do you, Dr. Nicole, help individuals get through the muck in order to get to the path?
You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is when we look at pictures of children that we love, we think of nothing but their possibility. Because as children, we look at them and we have nothing but optimism about what they'll do and how well they'll do in life and what the possibilities are. And something happens as we get older. What you're talking about, Jackie, is basically there's a split between how we see them often, which is with a God view. You know, they're God's children and there's all of this potential. And then time happens, and in time, experiences take place. And in those experiences, what will often take place is our self view will start to move from how God views us. Now, God ain't moving. He's like, I created you to be what I created you to be. All the gifts, all the wonder, all the fabulousness, stamp it, seal it, that's what it is. But because of what we experience, we move from that. Because we just can't fathom that it is what it is. We just can't fathom that what is good is good from its creation, and there's nothing we can do to mess it up. And how we diminish that middle is to start moving back to the view that God has of us. It's that take no prisoner, where I've been is not who I am. What you say of me is what you say, but you didn't create me, so I probably shouldn't listen to that. And when my car is dysfunctioning and the mechanic doesn't know what to do and the dealer doesn't know what to do, I go to the manufacturer. So the middle, where all of the messaging and all of the bad stuff is, what I tell women often is get back to the view of yourself the same way you view children that you love in the picture. Realizing that that's the truth, and that's the only truth that you need to anchor yourself to, is that you are seen the same way, created with the same significance, independent of where you've been, because that shuts it down. That shuts down all of the junk that has tried to say to you, because you've been here, you can't go there.
That makes perfectly good sense. It's like, how do you get back to center? And one of my resources, we have this wheel, and it's a wedge. And I often ask people, which wedge or where are the wedges that are drawing and pushing you so far away from your center self, your authentic self, your God-created self? And eventually they begin to pull out these wedges after they label them bad relationship, poor choices, lack of decision-making ability. You know, the job wasn't what I intended, relocated for the wrong reasons, until finally they don't have so many slivers or wedges that have edged out who they're in the process of becoming. Because rather than take a good, earnest look at everything and plan their lives strategically, they begin to just pile on more, trying to cover up rather than extract those things that didn't need to be there, because they are remaining if you don't ever remove them. And I think helping people discover closure is one of the key steps to being able to move forward without something, you know, debilitating or traumatizing from your past creeping in once you've gotten to a good place in your life.
And you know, there's so much forgiveness in the process. You know, we sometimes struggle with the art of forgiving ourselves. So things have happened, and many times things have happened to us, but there are a lot of times where we really put the blame on ourselves for some of the damage. And then we never forgive. We treat ourselves as if we're our worst enemy. Again, as if we're not deserving of saying, yeah, that wasn't the best decision. And you know what? You paid dearly for that one. So why don't you stop paying now? Why don't you end the conversation now and say, you did that. You paid dearly for that. There's no need to keep paying for that. Now, can you give yourself permission to turn the page so that you're not continuously in this cycle of diminishing what you have left to give? Because if you're still alive, the game's not up. You still have stuff to do. So how are you going to choose to use that time and use that gift?
The other thing, too, and maybe on the other side of the break, is that I think both of you, Jackie as well, talking about how do you balance this all? You know, both of you are very, very strong and key components in your various works about how does one strike a balance in their life between work, family, outside commitments, and themselves. So I think, Jackie, we're going to turn the table on you a little bit so that we can get this and then revisit it on the other side of the break, if you ladies are okay with that.
Absolutely.
Okie doke. All right, then we'll be back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're on with Dr. Nicole Love Beach, author of A Woman's True Purpose and Choose Yourself, A Journey Towards Personal Fulfillment of Women. And we're also on with our co-host, Jackie Hood Martin, who is the author of Fulfilled, The Art of Joy in Balanced Living and Wedded Bliss, a 52-week devotional to balanced living. So, ladies, on the other side of the break, I had mentioned about a balanced life. And I know, Jackie, that you always talk about how the importance of balancing roles, both professionally and personally, and how once you achieve and find that balance, they're key to sustainability of success, sustainability of one's environment, sustainability of one's home. So if we can unpack that a little bit more in this segment about how does one go about achieving that?
Well, I think a lot of it begins with a two-letter word that nobody likes to use. It's called no. Sometimes you have to be able to say no. Yes, I'm gifted. Of course, I'm skilled. I've got the ability to do these things. But should I? Is it what I need to be doing in this season in my life? Or am I mature enough to delegate some of the things that other people can do in order to free me up to do what must be done? One of the things I have on my calendar that pops up every day, and it says, am I doing the things today to secure my success for tomorrow? Am I doing today what I need to do to secure my success for tomorrow? So that means each day I have to say, this isn't a small task, but it is a task that can be delegated to someone else. because oftentimes the attitude that we have about what we pass on to someone else frees them and empowers them to really come alongside you and want to do well, rather than saying, oh, I don't have time for this, why don't you do it? That's not the way you present things to people. So in my being balanced, I also want the people who work with me to be balanced. Here's some things that I feel like you're ready to take on. Here's the project I'd like you to work on up to this point. And then you're there to oversee what they're doing. But, you know, we have to say you have to control your inner control freak. You've got to make conscientious decisions to check that chick on the inside of you and say, you took your hands off, now keep your hands off. Trust the people you have around you. Look for people to be around you who do things better than you do. Don't be jealous or envious of their skill set, but see that as a partnership to be able to collaborate with someone else, because their strengths help your weak spots. The worst thing any individual can do when they're stepping out, as Dr. Nicole has talked about, is to be their own weak link. When you're the weak link in your process, it makes everyone else fall, because they don't trust you, your credibility, your integrity, everything about you wanes because you haven't checked your inner chick and allowed yourself to say, I'm mature enough to pass on a few things to other people. And for me, that's how I stay balanced. When I'm traveling, I have to trust that someone else has things back at the ranch, you know, in order. They're doing what they need to. They've also been trained to check in from time to time to keep me abreast of things that I don't want to find out later when I get home that I needed to know while I was on the road. But yet they're also smart enough to know what they can handle because I've enabled them and given them levels of accountability to be able to make decisions that don't require my input. It boils down to trust. Trust yourself and trust your people.
I totally agree. Ditto on everything she just said. You know, many of us pride ourselves on being all things to all people. And I am very clear that if I'm being all things to all people, I'm probably not being much to myself. So that's a huge red flag for me. Huge red flag. The minute I feel like I am moving and grooving, I have this big S on my chest, I am doing it all for me, I stop and say, uh-oh, problem. That's a red flag. What is going on? Because if you're doing all of that, chances are you're not on the list. And that is going to end up badly in some way. You just haven't been able to predict in what way just yet. So for me, balance looks like being clear on what I need spiritually, what I need to make sure that the woman that I want to be every day is who's showing up. She's not angry. She's not agitated. She's not out of her head. She's not in an attitude that she doesn't see as being honorable. All of those things for me matter, because if I don't care for myself, what comes out at times is not intentional, but it's not the best that I have to offer. And I think that's for all women. You get to the point, if you're burning the candle at both ends, what starts to happen is your body either starts to break down, your temperament starts to go in the wrong direction, and before you know it, you're out of yourself. So we've all got to be very clear on what we need every single day to show up in the lives that we have. The other thing that I would say is help is not a bad word. It's a four-letter word, but it's not a bad word. Ask for it. A lot of times people have no concept that we need help in certain areas because we can often present like we don't need any. And because we may think it's a bad word, we don't want to say, I need help with that. Can you assist me with that? The other thing is surrender. That's not a bad word either. It doesn't mean that you've lost. It does not mean that you've lost. There are some times where you have to just say, I surrender to the fact that I'm across town and there is no way in this traffic, unless I'm going to, you know, do something supernatural, that I'm going to get to where I need to go in the next hour and a half to pick up my son. I need somebody to help me with this. I need to surrender to the fact that it's not going to happen the way that I thought it would happen, and that I need to come up with another plan that doesn't make me a loser because the first plan didn't work out. So I just have to regroup. Yeah, I just have to regroup. It doesn't mean that I wasn't planful. It doesn't mean that I'm not good at whatever this is. I surrender to the fact that everything does not always work out as planned, and I pick myself back up and I start over, and I don't let that be something that makes me feel bad about myself. Mm-hmm. That creates a lot of balance for a lot of women, because it takes so much time to just let go of what we thought it should be.
You know, I found as well, too, in speaking to different women and various folks, that sometimes, and back to your example about burning the candle on both ends, I come back to, why do you feel you need to do that? And what is missing inside that you to such a magnitude that you feel as if you don't have time for yourself or won't make time for yourself? Because I think sometimes that often we take on too much, do too much, stretch ourselves thin because we don't want to face who we are on the other side of the door or the other side of the mirror. So we create distractions for ourselves.
Well, I think that's fair. I think in honesty, we often have a lot legitimately on our plate. Mm. We often do. And a lot of times it's not that we want them to be on our plate, but we haven't really figured out how to use the resources around us to get the result that we're looking for. So many of us are fighting against tradition. We're fighting against what other people think. We're fighting against how other people say it should be done without giving ourselves permission to say, I get all of that, mm-hmm. but how is this going to work for me? Mm. How do I make this work for me?
Right.
In the life that I have, in the woman that I choose to be, and be present at the same time.
Dr. Nicole, how do our listeners find you?
You know, they can always find me at the website, www.askdrnicole.com. Love it when they find us on Facebook. You know, askdrnicole.com is everything. Twitter and Facebook, they can friend me. I always love that. They can ask me questions. And, you know, I just try to be honest about, you know, the things that I think are going to help people in general just get behind the driver's seat of their lives and their business. So they can reach out to me and I'll reach back.
Well, we thank you for being with us. We're going to cut out a little bit early because we're doing a tribute to Dr. Angelo for the next few. And we want to end with one of her recitations of her works. So we thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate both of you.
It's been great. Jackie, stay out the sun. She there? Did she have to cut out?
Oh, I'm here. Yes, okay. As I was saying. Yes, no, I'm excited. The show we had today was absolutely amazing. And I'm looking forward to hearing what's been selected today from Dr. Maya Angelou.
All right. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen.
Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need for my care. Because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. All you women and me.
We're on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare.
With a serious spin. Whether it be sports, faith, parenting.
Balance, relationships, education, community. Coaching.
Starting over. How do you reboot yourself?
Ministry. Relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in, ask us questions, be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1.